You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. We're looking ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. Sam Norris here, joined by John O'Connell on Tuesday's version of the podcast. Foss Lass and Muscle Rutter come on Tuesday afternoon with Nottingham Chelmsford and an Irish card at Ballinrobe on Tuesday evening. The action is live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with myself and John, joined by John Babb. Hopefully you can join us for all of that. But first things first, it's a very warm welcome to John O'Connell, who joins me on the podcast today. How are you, John?
Very well, Sam. Thank you.
Good stuff. I'm looking forward to the racing coming up this week. John, obviously we had a little bit of a lull this weekend, as we so often get in between the big two meetings. But it wasn't a bad weekend. And of course, we've got the King George coming up, and then followed by Glorious Goodwood and Galway. It's a great time of year.
Cracking week next week with Goodwood, as you mentioned. The Galway Festival as well, they always run the same week.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of cracking big handicaps and group races to get our teeth stuck into.
Yeah, indeed. 7 days of the Galway Festival. Not for the faint-hearted, if you're looking to attend.
You need a good liver.
Yeah.
You need stamina for that place, yes.
Indeed,
definitely.
Absolutely. Stamina very much the order of the day. We'll begin Tuesday's podcast then, as we always do, with a little look through the Racing Post Monday jury. And starting with the first question of the week, looking ahead to Ascot, as mentioned, who do you fancy for the King George? Give a quick spin through the betting for the King George. Highland Reel just clinging on to favouritism at 7-4. From Enable at 2-1, who looks as though she may well be taking her chance in the race. Idaho and Jacobs at 6-1, 7-1 for Ulysses, and 12 Spar. And Enable's possible participation has opened up a whole new angle into this race.
Certainly has. And Tegruder done the Irish Oaks double, or the Epsom and Oaks and the King George double 2 or 3 years ago.
And ran them ragged in this, didn't she, Tegruder?
Absolutely, yeah. This looks a deeper run, a deeper race this year, and Enable. There was no great talk about this race after Ireland last week, but she hardly had a race. They're talking about the Yorkshire Oaks originally, but that's just a winnable, a very easy winnable
yes.
group one. But this will really, really put a ranking right up there if she can take this. The latest quote I saw from John Gosden this morning was that he's going to make a decision on Wednesday, see how she is. But I think they're leaning towards running her in this race anyway. Highland Reel sets a cracking standard, but of course in Highland Reel, just a bit of a worry about the ground. I haven't done as good, faster ground horse, and at the moment Ascot is riding soft. We've got two dry days, a lot of rain coming in Wednesday, which will probably see it go back to soft. So then depends on what happens later in the week. So there's rain around, and Highland Reel, I don't think they'd even want to see Good to Soft in the title for that one.
No, I think you're right. He likes it rattling quick, doesn't he? Enable obviously going to get the allowances as well, John. And to be fair, with the Yorkshire Oaks in mind, they could probably do both, couldn't they? Is it back end of August, the Yorkshire Oaks, and given the opposition there might be a little bit easier than this one, they could do both races.
Well, let's see how it goes first time up here. But the Yorkshire Oaks has actually thrown up a few funny results in the past. So they'll just see how it goes here first time up anyway. They might decide just to, you find it hard to believe if she runs here on Saturday, she'll have an easy race, and then they might just skip Yorkshire Oaks and go on to Ark early October anyway. So they'll just see how it goes on Saturday. But Enable, fantastic performance both at Epsom and in the Irish Oaks, and getting, as you said, the allowance, which is a big, big thing in this race. It's a lot of weight to be receiving, £15, I think. And Frankie Dettori, he's been making his little weekend comebacks to try and get ready for Enable and then Goodwood after that. And it's a big ride to look forward to if Enable does turn up here on Saturday.
Yeah, it'll be a big statement if Enable can record a victory against the boys. They're the market principals. In terms of if you were having a bet at this stage, John, would it come from those two, or would you be looking further afield?
I wouldn't have a bet at the moment myself, because I'd just be waiting about the ground for Highland Reel. Further down the list, I could see Ulysses being popular. It might even be, if the big two actually run, I think the 7-1 Ulysses will probably get bigger on the day. But Ulysses just seems to be getting better. One of those typical Sir Michael Stoud's improvers anyway. There may be more to come after Sandown. I think if I was having an each-way bet now, I'd probably back Ulysses, but I think that there's a bit of a chance of a bigger price to come, and Highland Reel and Nable. I just hope Highland Reel turns up. That's the main thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Ulysses, then the Eclipse winner, would potentially offer the value for John at this stage. And the second question doesn't get any easier. What do you fancy for the big handicap, of course, the International Stakes? Fastnet Tempest heads the betting at 7-1. Maxime is 9-1. Viscount Barfield, 10s, 12-1 for Bless Him, 12s Flaming Spear, and 14s Bar. Looks tricky as ever.
Well, Fastnet Tempest missed the Bunbury Cup a few weeks ago and had no run like several others in the Royal Hand Cup. That was, you wouldn't call it a farce of a race, but a lot of them got in each other's way. Zui Feng made all the running under the stand rails, and a lot of them didn't get the chance to show their true worth that day. Ryan Moore is now booked to take over, I think, on Fastnet Tempest on Saturday. That'll be popular. Viscount Barfield, I'm not sure if Viscount Barfield wants the ground with any cut in it, although he's well in at the weights. You could see Flaming Spear being popular running the big race, owned by Tony Bloom, who landed a big gamble in this race last year with Liberus of Breeze.
Yes.
And that was pulled out on the day of the Bunbury Cup on good to firm ground. So goodish, or good to soft ground rather, won't be a problem for Flaming Spear. I must admit, I am all over Maxime.
Yeah.
I think it's now 31 on the list, and 29 can run. So it's massively odds on to get in the race. Mm. 7 furlongs, I think, is the making of this horse. He has definitely improved since his 2 runs over 7. You can see why Connections were looking at a longer distance originally, because he's a half-brother to Al-Kazim.
Yeah.
Who, of course, is a top mile and a quarter, mile and a half horse. But he was proving a bit disappointing, almost, this horse, Maxime was, but got off the mark this season at Newmarket a couple of runs ago. That was a pretty ordinary handicap on good to soft ground. He beat a horse called Superstar, who we know more as an all-weather horse. But a big, big run then in the Consolation Bunbury Cup behind Parfait, who was a handicap good thing on that occasion. He got enough of the mark he had before his Jersey Stakes fourth. So he had an impossible task that day. He's won on good to soft ground, Maxime. I wouldn't want to see the ground any softer for him, because the Bunbury Cup run last time on faster ground was an improved effort. But I think they've found the key to him now. I'd just be interested to see who rides him, because the two jockeys that Roger Charlton often uses, Ryan Moore and Kieran Schumacher, have other bookings in the race. Mm. And he's currently only got 8 stone 5, so if he gets in the race, he could be looking for a lightish weight jockey. But I think Maxime is a big, big runner here.
Okay, Maxime, then, a fairly confident pick. You mentioned there's 7 furlongs. It's a real specialist trip as well, isn't it? So when you get a horse that excels at it, there are opportunities, given that a lot of other horses find it sort of a middle ground for the Not quite a miler, they're not quite a sprinter, but horses who thrive over 7 furlongs.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a really good point, because if you've got a true 7 furlong horse, you've got so many big handicaps. You had the Bunbury Cup a few weeks ago, this race here. I think Ascot probably have 4 these sort of races during the season. They had the Victoria Cup back in May, another one later in the season as well. And even if you've got a group horse over 7 furlongs, you've got the Lennox Stakes, the Criterion Stakes at Newmarket a few weeks ago, never has more than 7 or 8 runners. So it's a specialist sort of trip, but it's one, if you've got a class act at that trip, you can really make hay.
Yeah, absolutely. On to the next question then, in this regards, one of the feature races at Goodwood next week. Which camp are you in for the Sussex Stakes, Ribchester or Churchill? The market very much favouring Ribchester at the moment at 8-11, 7-4 for Churchill. An 8's Bar, another duel on the downs, as it'll no doubt be billed. Clash of the Generations. Yeah. But Churchill was disappointing last time out, and Ribchester was impressive.
Yeah, the duel of the downs thing is getting a little bit old hat now, isn't it? But
yeah,
I'll probably back Churchill, just at the prices.
Yes.
We know that couldn't have been his run at Ascot. Yes, he could have been beaten by one horse, and he could have come second. But to finish where he did, you know that couldn't have been his true form. And if he turns up on the day, it'll be because you'd have thought Connections would be perfectly happy with the horse, and if there was a problem, they'll have found it and remedied it. And I just think Churchill, if they can get him back, I think he's still a class act. And nothing at all against Ribchester, he's a top notcher, but I sounded like Harry Redknapp there, didn't I? But no, I'd probably just edge it to Churchill.
Okay. Churchill 7-4 then for the Sussex Stakes. On to elsewhere at Goodwood. You've got a free anti-post Goodwood Yankee. Who's on your slip? We're not actually going to give you a free anti-post Yankee, but hypothetically.
Right. Well, there's only about four or five races we can choose from with the entries we currently have, but here we go. I've got to go for a bit of value here. Sussex, no, sorry, not going to go Sussex Ace. We're going to go to Goodwood Cup.
Yeah.
QE. Okay. Against Big Orange.
Extreme Source, Godolphin, owned now.
Ran really well in Australia last season. Ran at Ascot in the 2 mile 6 furlong race at the end of the card, and I think, like so many other horses,
Queen Alexandra.
That's right. Yeah. The extra distance just found out that day, but he travelled well for a long way. Not sure if he'll be good enough to beat Big Orange, but a double figure sort of price, I think he could be an each way play there. I'm assuming it's an each way Yankee we're talking.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, go on then. Why?
Yeah. well, in that case, I'll put a shorty in Winter as well for the Nassau Stakes.
Yes.
Just looking for a short one to fill it in. The Betfred Mile Blair House, really good run at Ascot in the Royal Highland Cup, and there could be more to come, relatively lightly raced. And what I do fancy in the Stewards Cup is what's called Sir Dancelot,
yeah,
who was second in the Bunbury Cup last month. He sort of flits between 6 and 7 furlongs, but I think Sir Dancelot, if he makes the cut for the race, I like his profile. Three-year-olds, if they can get in this race, are often the way to go in the Stewards' Cup. And he'll appear very well weighted to dance a lot. He'd also be well handicapped as well, because he's gone up a fair bit in the weight since Ascot. I think he's going to be about £6-7 well in should he turn up here at Goodwood. And I think Sir Dancelot is a big, big player in that race.
Okay, good stuff. You to follow them for John. QE, Blair House, Winter and Sir Dancelot. I've just flicked them together in a straight fourfold here at William Hill. 13,369 to 1, which wouldn't be bad.
That'll do.
Indeed. Give us one to follow at a lower level then is the next question. Who's been catching the eye lately?
Well, I asked this question. I then wrote a horse down and I looked across. And unfortunately, Tim Smith, the Ladbrokes odds compiler at the top, has got it absolutely spot on. Cloncooley.
Yes.
I saw that race at Newmarket on Friday, and to say it was an eye catcher is a huge understatement. It was pretty short in the betting for the race. It was a really competitive race, considering she'd only come from winning a Carlisle Maiden at quite a big price. That run was boosted earlier in the day on Friday by the runner-up winning a race at Newbury. But Cloncooley, the race developed away from her. The race was going on over the far side, and she absolutely burst clear of the three she was racing with on the stand side. And she must have put 4 or 5 lengths between herself and them in a space of a furlong or so, just failed by a neck to get up. The cat's out of the bag somewhat, but I think David Barron will have a lot of fun with this. And there's so many opportunities now for fillies and mares as well. And I'd be disappointed in time if she's not listed class at least.
Okay, Cloncooley then, one to follow for the future. And finally, what was you writing Kathy Gannon's retirement card, where you presented such an opportunity?
Funnily enough, I wasn't, but if I was, just well done. And she was a cracking good jockey. We call them the gaff tracks, don't we? But they make up so much of our diet of racing during the week. She had a particularly good record at Chepstow, and I know if I was ever back in a horse at Chepstow and her name was next to it, I'd be really happy with it. She done well on those sort of... She was a real trier, gave everything a ride, and I think she can leave with her head held high. She achieved plenty in the game, and it's just really unfortunate that she wasn't able to carry on and give it a few more years as she deserved. But she's a really, really good jockey and very strong at her weight. And fair play to her, and I hope it's a big success for her in the future.
Good stuff. Thank you for that, John. That's the Monday jury taken care of. Then we'll move on to look at some of Tuesday's racing. Then we've got four races picked out as per usual. And we start at Musselburgh with the 3:15, a sprint handicap coming up here. A class four event with 8 runners down to take their chance. And we must say before we get into this one, something you noticed, in fact, it completely passed me by. A couple of these are engaged to run on Monday at Ayr, but they are sprinters. They can be turned out fairly quickly, but just keep an eye on a couple. Royal Brave and Dawoodi are scheduled to run it there on the Monday. So your idea of a way in here, John, given that we might not get the dead 8 runners that are scheduled.
Well, there's a wide range of sprinters here, from the 3-year-olds Rock of America and Dawoodi to the 12-year-old Sylvanus in the race. My eye was drawn towards Paddy Power, ridden by Sammy Joe Bell. This is a 0-80 race tomorrow, but we're used to seeing this horse running in better class races. Unseated rider at the start of the Musselburgh Consolation race 2 starts ago, and never got in the race at York last time, but prior to that was in generally pretty decent form. Won at Newmarket in a better race than this under Sammy Joe Bell on good soft ground back at the May meeting there. So there's lots of good runs by this horse, which would suggest that back into a 0 to 80 grade. I think that's Paddy Power's grade these days, 0 to 80. Pearl Acclaim, first run for David Griffiths, who claimed the horse of David O'Mara's stable just last week, a few weeks ago. But Pearl Acclaim is interesting, but David Griffiths has got a really, really good wayward sprinters, and he'll find it hard to improve this one because David O'Mara's top of that game as well. But David Griffiths is very good. He's a trainer I've got an awful lot of time for, and I think if there's any improvement to be gained from Pearl Acclaim, he's a man who'll find it.
Okay. Would Pearl Acclaim get the nod then?
Probably just Paddy Power ahead of Pearl Acclaim. They're coming from different routes. Pearl Acclaim are coming from Sellers. Paddy Power from slightly better class than this. And I'll just prefer the class dropping Paddy Power.
Paddy Power then the choice in the 3:15. And Musselburgh gets a bit of class relief ahead of that race. We get a fast last then for the 4:30. A handicap over a staying trip this time. We go from the sprinters to the stayers, racing over 2 miles for this 4:30 contest. And given the way the ground often is at Fosslast, this might take a bit of getting.
Yeah, we'll never see Fosslast. We just associate it with softish ground, don't we? And that's going to be the case again tomorrow. Naban won last week on goodish ground, actually, there. But Naban has got plenty of form on soft ground. Authorised to the top one. On the flat, he doesn't seem to want, you'd have thought, softish ground. But as an authorised, he's got plenty of form as well over hurdles on soft ground. So authorised to should be okay on the ground as well. I think authorised to won at Kempton on the all-weather a few weeks ago. I'll give him another chance of getting back on the winning trail on soft ground, but I think he'll be okay with it. He copes at soft ground over hurdles, and he hasn't had too many chances on the flat on turf, so I think authorised to might have a bit more to come for Noel Williams and Fergus Sweeney there.
At the top weight then, or the joint top weight, authorised two is the pick in the 4:30 at Fosslast. On to the evening's racing then, and to Chelmsford City for a couple on the all-weather. We begin with the 7 o'clock. This is a 6-furlong handicap, a Class 3 event. And as is often the case with Chelmsford, John, a good prize money on offer here. And it's attracted a nice field.
Yeah, fair play at Chelmsford. They put the prize money up, they get the entries. Yeah. And for midweek racing, you can't argue with that. It's always good to see. A few take my eye here. Macaseeb down at the bottom on Simon Christopher's yard. It's a free going sort. It's a good draw in stall 3. Plenty of form on the all weather. That'll bound to have plenty of supporters. You don't though, do you? It's drawn 13. Could be a bit of a problem. Landed a gamble here last month, but was better drawn on that occasion. Definitely an interesting one here. I want to keep my eye on is a horse called Kadritzi of Dean Ivory's, who hasn't been in much form of late. But the handicapper has given him a little bit of slack. He's now down to a mark of 92. Now, the last time we saw him on the all-weather, he was rated 98. And he was a good second to Raucus here at Chelmsford. I think he's a better all-weather horse than he is a turf horse these days. I think the handicapper has dropped the mark under both codes. Now he slips back into the all-weather off a decent weight. He's got form at Chelmsford. I think he's in with a big chance here. If he can get back to life for the return to the sand, I think Kadritzi each way is a decent player in that race.
Yeah, Kadritzi then each way calling the race for Dean Ivory and Robert Winston. On to the final race on today's podcast then, which comes up half an hour later at Chelmsford, the 7:30, a mile handicap for us to assess this time. And 9 runners go to post. Anything catching the eye here with the 3-year-olds involved?
Yeah, important mission. The top one for William Haggis. This is a race where lots of the big Newmarket trains are represented. The Newcastle win last time was nothing special at all, and the maiden win from Multazem from John Gosden's yard looked better. The Ripping win last time has been boosted by the runner-up, so that form is solid enough. Scalarisia down at the bottom is a possible Mark Prescott improver, but I think Multazem is possibly just a little bit classier than that one, and just by virtue of the fact that a Ripping win last time has been franked, I think Multazem may be able to follow up in the handicap debut for a mark of 78.
Multazem then gets the vote in the 7:30 race at Chelmsford City. Thank you very much for that, John. The thoughts of John O'Connell there. Best of luck and enjoy the action on Tuesday, John.
Thanks very much indeed, Sam.
And you can join myself and John alongside the Baron, John Babb, on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. on Tuesday afternoon. Fosslast, Musselburgh, Nottingham, Chelmsford and Ballinrobe to bring you on Tuesday. But until then, a very best of luck with all of your bets.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.